Hi, this is John Harter, and welcome to an encore presentation of the Keep On Grooving Holiday Special from last year. I decided to upload it again to save you the trouble of looking for it, so it's right in your lap here on Christmas Eve. So enjoy it, and hear what my COVID voice sounded like last year. And then after the special's done, we'll do a little recap of the box sets that we did on the video. So see you when we're done. One of the bits of stretching regarding Jimmy and Christmas for me involves Curtis Knight and the Squires. As I've mentioned a number of times, on December 26, 1965, the band played George's Club 20 in Hackensack, New Jersey. As someone born in Passaic and being a former resident of Wallington and East Rutherford, it was always hard for me to imagine Jimmy was right in my backyard, albeit a few years before I was born, but it happened. The band played a mix of blues, R&B, and some rock and roll covers. Jimmy also took a few turns on lead vocal. Curtis even mentioned the band was being recorded that night, so must have been in the back of Jimmy's mind to really do well. These were among the tapes Ed Chalpin had in his possession, thanks to Jimmy's $1 contract that ended up yielding the Band of Gypsies album as a court settlement. After Jimmy's death, these tapes were recycled endlessly. Along with the umpteen re-edits of the studio songs, a large number of recordings from the December 26th show made it out. A box of PPX recordings came out in the late 90s claiming to be complete, but really weren't. Surprise, surprise. Included in there were around 24 live songs, and yes, even there, they had some re-edits and retitles to make it seem like there were more. I put them together in a playlist that resembled a concert set and would listen to it the week after Christmas in those bygone days when I would actually commute to work. Then when Experience Hendrix got to put out their version with some songs not on the complete version, I'd have even more to listen to. I'm probably going to have to do a whole show just on the Curtis Knight recordings and albums since it's a big part of Jimmy's legacy. So I'll end up talking about this album in depth there. Now, if you could have told Jimmy that night in Hackensack, exactly 1 year from then, he'd be in England performing with his own band, I wonder what his reaction would have been. But that's exactly what happened. In fact, backstage, the night after Christmas 1966, he came up with an idea for a song and started writing down the lyrics as they came to him. It started out with the first line, "Purple Haze, All in My Brain." He originally had it titled as Purple Haze, Jesus Saves, appropriate for Christmas. The band was hitting a lot of smaller venues at that point away from London, and for New Year's Eve, they ended up at Noel Redding's mum's place. It must have been really cold that night because as he walked in, he asked if he could do just one thing. "Let me stand next to your fire." A year after that, the Experience was one of the top draws on the concert circuit. They had been asked to be part of the Christmas on Earth Continued Festival, playing alongside such bands as Traffic, The Move, The Animals, and Pink Floyd, an appearance that ended up being Syd Barrett's last with the band. The concert was filmed. There are bits and pieces of it floating around out there. Two segments of the Experience's performance were first shown in Jimmy Plays Monterey. Jimmy tells the audience to cover their ears before he breaks into a short and noisy version of Sgt. Pepper's. The other clip had Jimmy using the tremolo bar on his guitar to make it sound like a bagpipe before launching into Wild Thing. The video out there on the net these days has Foxy Lady in between those two clips. Overall, it's a really fun performance. Now, a few days earlier, the band recorded its last session for the BBC that ended up airing on Christmas Eve 1967. So now, this is the best of segment of our show. Well, that's what happens during the holidays. Here's a recap of that show that I did a couple episodes ago. The final session occurred in mid-December and was broadcast on Christmas Eve, 1967. All five songs recorded that night made the CD. The session started with Jimmy doing a fake jingle for BBC Radio 1. It was followed up by a couple of songs from Axis Bold as Love, Spanish Castle Magic, and Wait Until Tomorrow. Next up was another cover tune, this one by a little band called The Beatles. Jimmy had done Day Tripper with Curtis Knight way back when, so he knew it well enough. The liner notes hint the song may have had a secret special guest star and background vocals. You know, just imagine. But no, it's not him. It's just Noel doing a very close Lennon imitation. The session ended with the premiere of a new song Jimmy called Get My Heart Back Together, but later better known as Hear My Train A-Comin'. One thing in particular I do have to bring up about this session is Noel's enthusiastic participation, joining in on vocals a lot. Redding's frustration with the band are well known, and things started breaking down a few weeks later during the recording of Electric Ladyland. I think it's great to hear him really enjoying himself and adding a lot of fun to the whole session. Since it ends with Jimmy wishing everyone a Merry Christmas, this has kind of become a Christmas tradition with me, listening to it usually on the way home from work on the 23rd, when I used to actually commute home from work. Okay, we're back live again. Right around this time in 1967, there's a fun promo photo for Axis Boldest Love with Jimmy dressed as Santa. This would come into wider use later when the estate wanted to put out their own Christmas release. What was it? Well, during the Baggy sessions, Jimmy, Buddy, and Billy interspersed a few Christmas songs in with the songs they were getting ready for the concerts for December 31st and January 1st. Buddy starts off with a staggered march with Jimmy going into an instrumental Little Drummer Boy. After a few minutes, he moves into the loudest version of Silent Night you're likely to ever hear. They would wind down by playing Auld Lang Syne with Buddy pitching in with, well, not quite vocals, but Buddy be doing Buddy. 1974 had already seen the Baggy sessions tapped for Burning Desire and Hoochie Coochie Man from Loose Ends. For the holidays that year, radio stations got a promotional single from Reprise called And a Happy New Year. It had Little Drummer Boy and Silent Night on one side and Auld Lang Syne on the other. I believe this may have technically been the first release of the Alan Douglas era. In 1979, the single was reissued to stations with all three songs on each side. It would be heard on rock stations during the holidays. I remember one time Darren called me up, one time when it was on K-Rock in New York, and they were playing it on Christmas Eve, and he made sure that I heard it. So thanks again, Darren. Experience Hendrix finally let the single be released to the public on their own release in 1999 on CD called Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Expanded a little bit, but whatever. The cover was that picture of Jimmy as Santa Claus. It includes the edited version, which is oddly enough shorter than the 1979 version when all three are together, an extended version which switches to mono at the point where the single version ends, and Three Little Bears, which is currently the only place you can get it now until they finally get around to reissuing War Heroes. Then eventually the circle was completed when it was reissued on vinyl a few years back for a Black Friday Record Day release in time for, you guessed it, Christmas. Oh, and just to complete all the years that we're covering in here, the only thing Christmas related in 1968 was a poetry reading Jimmy attended at St. Mark's Church in the Village on Christmas Eve. Sounds like a nice night. Okay, we're back in 2022. Hear the difference in my voice? Really different. And just, if you noticed, this episode is brought to you commercial free this year. So you don't have to hear me hawking anchor again. So anyway, the box sets started coming out in 1990 with the Lifeline set, which was basically the radio show, live and unreleased, put on CD, and then augmented with the LA concert, which was actually part of the original radio show, but not included on the live and unreleased version from Europe, from Castle. As far as going back and looking for it, I really wouldn't, especially since they did a stellar version of the LA concert. They just put that out this year, so I would default to that, even though it's missing the 24 seconds, which we've been debating endlessly over on the Hoffman boards. But between Lifeline's audience recordings and the new Experience Hendrix release, the show is basically covered as far as the music is concerned. The following year, Reprise came out with Stages, which had a concert from each year the Experience was around, not including 1966, because nobody recorded any of those. So they had
a show from Stockholm from September of 1967. It was on a radio show, and it was only half hour long, so 32 minutes to be precise. They did 8 songs, but still kind of short. Should have been padded out with something else, anything else at that point. 1968 was covered by the January concert from the Paris Olympia, the final time they played there. A really good show. They did Killing Floor, did Catfish Blues, he did Driving South, which was rare for the experience to do. 1969 is covered by the first almost full release of the San Diego show. And of course, we've gone over it many times. For some reason, they didn't include Foxy Lady, which led to the confusion because the LA concert on Lifelines left off Foxy Lady because it was on concert. So, but to this day, we still do not have an actual release of Foxy Lady from San Diego, and it's a shame because it's a really good version. So maybe someday. 1970 was covered by the concert at Atlanta for the Atlanta Pop Festival. Alan did his usual juggling around and editing, and they left off a number of good tracks. The main one they left off was the Hey Joe with the unique flamenco style opening that actually ended up on Band of Gypsies 2, the alternate pressing that made it out by mistake. So that kind of should have been on there to give it an official release, but didn't happen. Now, considering 2 of the shows have been re-released by Experience Hendrix in full, San Diego's been like 2/3 released on the In the West reissue, and the Stockholm show is still like less than half out. They really need to put that out somewhere. I think they should try to come up with, maybe here's an idea for them in the future, like similar to the BBC sessions, like all the other radio shows that they may have had, still have laying around for other European stations. So this one was from Stockholm. There was another one from the Netherlands called Hepla, which where we got Catfish Blues from the Blues album, and Foxy Lady turned up on a B-side of the, I think it's the Loverman single from Both Sides of the Sky. So that needs to all be reissued. So then we get to 2000 and we get to the Purple Box, which is officially known as the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And that's probably, in my opinion, the best of all the box sets that have come out. It's very accessible for even the casual fan. Has a lot of good stuff on there. It's not all completely unreleased, but a lot of it was out of print at the time the album came out. So you had Red House from In the West. You had the Star Spangled Banner from Rainbow Bridge. You had some of the Monterey songs, some of the Isle of Wight songs, plus a lot of unreleased material. Taking Care of No Business stuck out in my mind as like the big one from there. And then in 2013, that's the one that when Sony took over the catalog, because the original release was on MCA, they reissued it as a smaller version, and they added the 4 songs. Burning of the Midnight Lamp, I remember this right off the bat from yesterday, from one of the TV shows. Stars Play with Laughing Sam's Dice and Mono, Peace in Mississippi from the TTG sessions, and the 3rd version of Like a Rolling Stone from Winterland. He did it 3 times during the run. The other 2 were on the box set, so all 3 are available. So in my opinion, that's the one, if you want to give a present to even a newer Hendrix fan, if you've gotten them the first 3 albums, if you've gotten them Band of Gypsies, and gotten them some combination of First Rays of the New Rising Sun or Cry of Love and Rainbow Bridge, I would actually get that next and say, here you go. Just go to town on this. This is like 4 hours worth of stuff. Enjoy it. That was it for like 10 years. Then when Sony took over the catalog, they went kind of box set crazy, you know, with, as usual, some mixed results. Their first one was West Coast Seattle Boy in 2010. It's similar to the way the Purple Box was set up, but the first disc, it has all the songs that Jimmy played on before the Experience, with the exception of the Lonnie Youngblood and Curtis Knight tracks. And then it goes into a lot of not so much rare, but mostly unreleased stuff going forward. I think the Red House from Berkeley was previously released, and there were Peter Gunn was finally put back into circulation on this album. they follow up in 2011 with the Winterland box set, and that's a good one. It's not complete, but I put it as a second tier present because it's a lot of good material. Then they really didn't do anything until 2018 when they put out the Electric Ladyland 50th Anniversary box set. I've gone over that. That was a bit of a disappointment. I wouldn't get that for someone because I know John McDermott said that they set it up that for even the casual fan would like it. I don't think it would satisfy the casual fan, and I don't think it would be kind of too much for them. And hardcore fans like myself were somewhat disappointed in it. But then the next year, they followed that up with the almost complete Band of Gypsies concert songs for Groovy Children. As we went over in the set, they did drop a couple songs here and there. A couple songs may still be missing, but the sound of it is great. And as a second choice for a box set present, I would go with that one. So the first thing I would get would be the 2013 reissue from Sony of the Purple Box. You can get that for like $30 on Amazon. It's accessible. It's cheap. It's everything you'd want in a box set. And the second, I'd go for the Songs for Groovy Children. So that's the box set rundown. Well, thanks for listening to this enhanced version of the holiday special. I hope everybody out there has a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. For those of you who celebrated Hanukkah, enjoy that. Kwanzaa coming up next week, enjoy that. For the Druids out there, I hope you enjoyed your winter solstice. And hopefully in the new year, speaking of box sets, let's hope for the Electric Lady Studio set. That one's going to be a winner if it's anything close to what they accidentally posted last year. So, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.